listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Woo! That's a bad outfit! Woo!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough.
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo no down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Hey Geeksters, welcome back to issue 108 of Geek Watch 1.
Hey, you got it right.
Yeah, and?
He didn't even ask me before.
I can do it.
Look, you didn't even ask. You got it all right off the bat.
He checked these things on his own.
That,
I had to double check, yeah.
Well, no, I had to double check because I'm still half out of it.
I know. Well, like, you're kind of... But you're doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
Busy stunt life.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, Vic and I just got back last night from Louisville, Kentucky and doing some stunts. Fun stuff. Vicky actually had her first ever on-screen stunt last night.
Woo,
or
Vicky!
Friday night.
Yeah, well, 8 p.m. to a.m.
Yeah.
Overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ended, our call time was 5 p.m. on Friday. We got back to the hotel at 7 a.m. Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And we checked out of the hotel to leave to come home for a six-hour drive at noon.
Wow. That's a busy weekend.
Busy couple days.
Already.
And then getting blasted with a water cannon in the middle of that. Yes, Vicky was in
the
right.
That's the fun you go down for.
You know what? All of us.
I would love to go in and go to work tomorrow and say, bye, Felicia. But this one's like, Ken was like, I don't think they would even know what that meant.
Yeah, she would say it as a joke, saying, I'm quitting and going to Hollywood. And they would take her seriously and make her clean out her desk.
Yeah.
So, she's not allowed to do that.
No.
We had a good time.
The smart at the sharpest tool.
Although, what were you saying about we need to work two more days?
We played with two... elements. I wanted to work another 2 days and work the other two elements. Thursday we worked with fire, and Friday was water. All we have left is earth and air.
We should have done some kind of stunts with those, it would have been good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, when the movie comes out, we'll let you guys know to go see it because we were in it. And if you can see us, then we didn't do our job right.
That's right.
So what have you guys been up to this week?
Reading. Lots of reading and more reading. That's pretty much it.
I finally caught up on American Gods, so that made me happy.
American Gods is awesome.
Yes, it is.
It's on my list. I can actually see it now, so I gotta look.
I got so excited last night. Andy and I were, or Friday night, we had a surprise date night, and we decided we were going to try and rewatch American Gods, because once you've seen certain things, especially cinematically, the way Brian Fuller does it, it's totally worth rewatching. Pretty much every series he ever does is worth rewatching. But we went back and started it again, and when we got into the on-demand on UVerse, it listed every single episode for the season. And we got freaking excited. We were like, oh my God, they're on demand already. And then we went down to it and it was like, does not arrive until, and there's like a 2 second preview of each one.
Yes.
Which is terrifying. So thanks for getting my hopes up there, UVerse.
Well, hey, it is just two more episodes though.
Yeah.
So. I know, I just couldn't handle it. What can I say? It's been really good. It's been a really good season.
It really has.
I got binged, 10, 11 episodes of 24 between now and
was the end of the month it goes off.
Because I recorded them all, but then Don and I we were with one cable company, but then Don decided to call to see because this company was bought out by another company, you know, comparing could we save money or blah blah blah. Well,
long story short, we had to get new equipment, so the DVR got trashed. Everything that was recorded, gone.
Oh, I hate that. That's happened to me.
But the plus is that pretty much everything I'd lost is on demand.
But some of it's going away very soon.
Some is going away soon, so it's going to be like, okay, well, seasons are over. I can So Don's just
gonna... Is that the current season of 24-24 Legacy?
Yeah,
or,
yeah 24 yes. Legacy.
I haven't tried Legacy. I did watch the original through most of its run, and I really enjoyed the first
And unfortunately, three. They've said Legacy's not coming back.
I think. Oh, yeah. Okay.
They, really?
No second season. Oh, man. They announced it. I think...
You know what
Some
else?
Of the shows that they brought
but,
back.
But they've talked about doing yet another reboot. Which is stupid. Just continue it.
Yeah. See, I liked Legacy, and I think you probably had some people. I'm enjoying it. I'm liking that. I mean, this has a different feel from the other shows, and I guess because it's without Jack Bauer. And I'm thinking that a lot of people came into this hoping that maybe Jack was going to show up. And I'm like, Jack's not showing
He's
up,
not
y'all.
Well, it's not my show, but I've watched a couple episodes with you.
Right.
Jack's not necessary for it.
No, it's not.
I think that was the major flaw of the original run of 24. I loved it, and I did like Jack Bauer, especially in the first couple of seasons. But you got to stop stretching to make the same character show up in these 24-hour situations again and again.
Right.
And it would have been fine if, okay, the first two seasons you focus on Kiefer Sutherland and Jack Bauer, and then you move on, like, one of his trainees becomes the focus of maybe later seasons. And then the show... brilliantly renews itself without, but you know, I'm no Hollywood writer. I'm not telling you how to do your job,
right?
But I am.
Well, it was like a show that I thoroughly enjoyed was Six, and this was on the History Channel.
Yeah.
Okay, and it got a bunch of nominations, which I was pleasantly surprised with. And it's one of those shows that it centers around a SEAL team. You get
Would it happen to be SEAL Team 6?
Maybe.
You have to watch to find out.
You get this feeling that that everyone's fair game, right? And I like that because it's like you said, like it's kind of like what happened with 24. Like the first couple seasons, okay, great. But then it ends up becoming the Jack Bauer show.
Right.
It's what it is, yeah.
Which is fine if it's your basic series, but it's supposed to take place in a 24-hour period.
Right, and nobody...
And especially if you start focusing on another character, within 24 hours, what's the likelihood they're going to come across this other one again? Like, you know, he's walking down the street, okay? But it's like... Yeah.
Well, they can't have Jack Bauer now because he's president of the United States on Designated Survivor.
That's right.
That was already been canceled anyway, if I remember right.
So there you go. They might get Jack Bauer back.
Yeah, they canceled it, didn't they?
Did they?
When they brought up the big rounds of cancels and renewals, I think Designated Survivor was on the act.
Haven't looked that up, but I actually enjoyed it. It may have gotten canceled because at the end of its run, it became very involved in current politics.
Oh.
And it actually made me very happy.
It
became very involved in current politics, kind of like Doctor Who right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what?
Doctor Who has been making a lot of statements.
They're making statements. I'm like,
people think that that's new though, and it's not for Doctor Who.
No.
Doctor Who's been doing that from the very beginning. Yeah. In fact, pretty much any situation that we're dealing with now, internationally, politically, or just within this country, I'm pretty sure you can find a fourth Doctor quote for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
You know, and I love the fourth Doctor. I told you, he's like my favorite, you know.
The third is your favorite.
No, it's fourth, isn't it? No, Ooh. Third is third.
Pertwee's
You're Pertwee. A Pertwee person.
You're a Pertwee.
You knew Shinakito, kind of.
That's right. And Pertwee.
Fourth is the scarf.
Oh, scarf. Okay, yeah. No, I am a fan of the third is my, although fourth
was a very significant Doctor.
Ran for a very long time. Yes. He's sort of the iconic Doctor. Yeah. He's done it the most number of episodes. I think perhaps the longest number of airtime as well.
Possibly, yeah.
How many seasons was he on for?
The mostest. Seven, I think.
The mostest.
Well, I know, because it seemed like, I mean, now, mind you, this was a time when I was wanting to watch Doctor Who, but, you know, I wasn't in that sci-fi friendly family, so I didn't get to, but every time I saw Doctor Who...
It was on PBS. PBS is educational.
But it wasn't Dallas.
That was like... I'm sitting there if I'm watching...
It's okay, my mom was Falcon's Crest, so...
Falcon's Crest, Dallas, you see the CW's got Dynasty for next season?
And Dynasty is back.
Back again.
No, thank you. And
SWAT is back.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, I was an original Melrose Place person, but when they brought that back, all I could think was, no, please don't.
No, you know, I was like, I have to admit, I did enjoy Melrose Place, at least for the first couple of seasons. They were 20-somethings with crappy jobs, yeah. And then all of a sudden everybody got soap opera jobs, and I was out.
That's Heather Locklear showed up, and everybody got to work at the ad agency somehow. Yeah. Or was affiliated with her, or right. whatever, and right. then she would wear her, like, mm-hmm. super not work-appropriate clothing to the her job as a high-powered executive at the ad agency. I remember this clearly. My teen years, Melrose Place.
Well, that's see for me, the teen years was when Beverly Hills 90210 first came on, mm-hmm. and when it came on, it was basically like just a little bit more. The first it couple was. Seasons were a little more grown-up version of Saved by the Bell.
The first couple of seasons, yeah. yes.
That's what it felt like, and it's like, that's cool, because I was watching Saved by the Bell.
Right. Yeah, I never watched Saved by the Bell, but I watched Beverly Hills.
Oh, I watched now. Saved by the Bell.
Once they got out of high school, yeah. it was like, yeah, I was gone.
Well, oh, that's know. Okay. Melrose Place came on, and it was like, yeah, we're not even going to have pretenses that,
see,
we're,
I never even
we're,
that up.
We're friendly at all. Yeah. Yeah. It just went straight into the trashiness.
Yeah, I never even picked that up.
Melrose was complete soap opera. It really was.
It was, but then, you know, like, I was fine with it, because they had, like, dude was, like, a writer, but he was driving a cab. Yeah, Andrew, he was driving Andrew a taxi Shue. Cab. Yeah. yeah. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. I get yeah. this. And all of a sudden, he got high power. I'm like, I don't have a high power job. I'm out. Yeah. Hello, Highlander.
You couldn't identify with them anymore, yeah, so you went to Highlander.
Happened. That's what really happened is you switched over to Highlander.
I watched Highlander before Dude, that, I think. Oh, Highlander and the Highlander was amazing. Spinoff.
The Raven Highlander series? Yes. yes.
Oh, well, the Raven?
Yeah.
I tried to get into the Raven. I don't know.
I liked her on the Highlander series. Loved the Raven, it wasn't as good.
I think they moved. They kept, like, where I was, they kept moving it around.
Well, it was syndicated.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
The only one that was guaranteed to always be in the same place no matter what was Star Trek.
That's
Everything
true.
Else bounced around. You never knew what
it was. That's true. Yeah. That's true. But the Highlander series was quality stuff. I mean, yeah.
The Highlander was amazing.
Far superior to the movies.
No, the first movie was like the one. The first one.
I think I have to agree with Heather.
Adrian Paul for the win.
I have to agree with Heather. I'm like, you know, if I was at a party, if I was at a McLeod family gathering, I'll be hanging out with Duncan, because kind of like...
You got to think also, they had a total of about 5 hours of screen time to get to know Connor McLeod.
True.
Adrian Paul, you had a couple hundred, or at least 100 hours to develop a character.
That is true.
But you only needed like 2 to love him.
That is true.
Yes, he was pretty on screen.
Again, we're talking teenage years for me.
That's right.
Adrian Paul.
I just wanted to live in a dojo. I was like, dude lived in a dojo. How cool is that?
The barge, too. The barge is cool, too. Basically, he didn't switch seasons. He'd be living in the dojo somewhere, then the next season is in Paris, and you have no idea why.
Right.
Yes. All of a sudden, he's in Paris.
But that was excellent.
It didn't matter, because he was in Paris.
That's right.
You know, and
living on a barge.
One of the few shows that the season finale just tore me up.
Well, no, first or second season finale when we lose Tess?
Second dude, season finale.
They use Dust in the Wind. I still can't hear Dust in the Wind without getting a little choked up.
I can't either. Now, I remember me and my best friend were sitting there watching this.
You're like, dude, turn on those lights.
And then, like, the two guns, we watched it in the dark.
The lights off, you're like, no.
Guns go off, right? And then there's commercial break. And we're sitting there like, and we're like, okay.
What happened?
So we're sitting there like, okay, Tessa, you know, it's cool. Tessa's an immortal. The next season, he's going to be training her. Uh-huh. It's going to be awesome. And I can't stand Richie. The little redhead, he yelling at, and then next thing you know, the music is playing, and he's just standing there all steely-eyed, and he's looking, and I'm like, oh, no, dude.
Tessa.
He said, it's not Tessa. I'm like, dude, Tessa's gone. He said, no, not. And then he goes, and then Richie comes. I'm like, Richie's a freaking immortal.
Well, no, you knew that from the beginning, though.
Yeah,
you can. The first episode, because Connor was on the first episode with Duncan.
Yeah. Right.
Connor and Duncan were both there, and Connor tells him, watch that boy. And Duncan's like, I know. Because the series established that even if you had not died, the immortals could still feel that
they
you were immortal.
They can sense you.
Well, yeah, the movie established that.
Yeah.
Because in the first movie, Kurgan is going after Connor to kill him, so that he can make him immortal, then he could kill him and take his power.
Yeah.
And so Kurgan sent the immortal could sense it in non-immortal, but I don't know if it goes the other way.
Connor had never died when Ramirez was training him. He said, no, you're an immortal, my friend.
No, he became immortal in the first battle.
Oh yeah, he did. He woke back up. Okay.
Right, and because his wife says he's in league with Lucifer, and I'm like, you just turned on him, and then she's like, she like tried to get him.
That's okay. Heather was the one anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's another one that it hurt, but it wasn't like Tessa.
No.
That's a hard one to watch that first two series and not feel something when that happened.
And that was a show that ended on a high note. Like, they knew how far they needed to take it.
And then they made three more movies.
Right.
Ooh, that's true. It did. Before, it did end.
They made what? Three made for TV movies plus Endgame. Endgame wasn't bad.
Endgame wasn't bad. But
I think they made that movie to give Christopher Lambert a send off.
Right. That was a hard
chance to go.
That was a hard death to watch because, you know.
There was no choice, and it's like, dude, you just killed your cousin.
It's Highlander.
Yeah.
Everybody dies.
Well, as far as I know, that's the only two that were ever related, as far as we can know, in Immortals.
Well, technically, there's Quinn McLeod in Highlander, the animated series.
Yeah, that's if you count. That one doesn't really matter in there. It doesn't match up.
No. They it's considered canon for some weird reason.
Oh, it's weird. I don't understand how the TV series can be canon, because technically, if you watch that first movie, when he wins the prize, that's it. He's the last immortal. He's allowed to grow old and die.
But then you had the second one.
Yeah. Well, that was cool, because if you watched the second one, he was growing old and was getting old. As soon as the other immortals show up, pop, he went back to normal age.
That's right. See, I managed to scrub the second one out of my head.
Well, if you watch the Renegade Edition, it's better. It's not great, good.
Right.
But it's better. The Renegade Edition was the
still
director.
Not good.
The director finally got a chance to go back and finish it the way he wanted to. Because that movie, the problem with it, well, one of the major problems was they were so far over budget and behind schedule that the insurance company fired everybody and finished it themselves and put it out. That's why it doesn't make any sense. That's where you get the whole alien aspect of it. All that stuff was. They're like, we have all these
insurance
parts.
Insurance did that?
Yeah. To recoup their money, they fired the entire crew and took what there was there and pieced it together and made a movie.
See, kids, this is why you stay in your lane. Remember that, all right?
But they were the Renegade Edition. They were able to go back and do a director's cut and actually change some of the stuff so that instead of them being aliens, it was aliens from the past or immortals from the distant past had been exiled to the future or something.
Yeah, those.
And that's how they ended up popping up past where the prize was.
That's right.
Huh. But then they totally scrapped the idea of the prize being the last one anyway when they did tie them to three.
Yeah, well, because you know.
Anytime you suddenly throw aliens in as your solution, it never works.
No.
It's one thing if it's an alien show or an alien movie and you know something's coming eventually. But if you have everything going on for long term and then suddenly we need a conclusion, aliens.
Yeah.
Not the way to go.
See, and that's why I love Bob Newhart, because he never included aliens in anything.
Is a true statement.
Not even in the Librarian series.
That's one that actually could throw aliens in.
Mm-mm.
And like I said, that's one that you could throw aliens in.
Yeah. You could.
That would meld just fine with the Librarian.
Yeah. That's another, you know what?
Well, see, the Librarians kind of stay on Earth, though, and they deal with mythology.
Right. And magic.
And they travel across various areas of the Earth and sometimes
dimensions.
Sometimes time,
they haven't, I don't know that
they're not
that
other worlds.
No.
Aliens wouldn't really fit. No.
You know what? Vicky had a good idea just now, though. You know what? This next season, since they've introduced everything in the world in Supernatural, we're going to get aliens next season.
I hope not.
that
would ruin everything.
Is it a shark jumping moment?
Yeah.
That would be. I mean, considering the way they ended this last season.
No. The next one is going to be that. My thing is they're going to be trying to keep him from going the wrong direction or something.
Yeah, because it's going to go.
Everything's going to go. Well, Lucifer is gone. He's in another dimension, so there's no way that he's not coming back as far as we can
tell. I don't know. It's Lucifer.
It's Lucifer. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
But Cass is gone. Crowley's gone. I mean, everybody's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it really tough for the boys.
Although, in the hotel, I was able to see like one of the first season episodes a couple days ago, because I woke up before we had to get going. And TNT runs them all day, every day.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
And they're back on the first season.
Nice.
Dude, Dean has not changed this entire time.
No.
Sammy looked like a baby.
Sam changed a lot over the years.
I forgot that he was a psychic in the first season.
Yeah. Was it in the
Well, there was that whole big arc across a few years where
with
he was
yellow eyes.
Part of that group of kids who were all touched by the demon or whatever.
Right,
and they all had that psychic thing.
And he was able to pull
He could get
like
visions.
The demon out of people.
I had
eventually he got to that. Yes, yeah.
I had never watched an episode of Supernatural, and Andy's like, "I hear something really cool is going to happen on Supernatural tonight. We should totally watch it." And I was like, "No, I really don't. I don't feel like watching it because I haven't seen where it's going." This was like season 4 finale. Okay.
Back then, you could pick up one episode at a time. They weren't as
but was it
tied
season
together.
4 finale that introduced like a whole different layer of involvement with demons?
Yeah.
Because
possibly.
That's the one Andy wanted to watch. And then at the end, I'm like, oh, people are demons. And he's like, no, because I do this occasionally. Like, when he tried to introduce me to Battlestar Galactica, the reboot, and I just wasn't having it because I hadn't watched it from the beginning, so I wasn't involved with the
characters.
That's
one that you kind of do need to know all
the right. I love, for the record, I love the BSG reboot very much. But at the time, I wasn't emotionally involved with the characters. And Andy was watching it when I wasn't home. And I was home for some reason doing laundry or something, and he was watching the pivotal episode where Starbuck dies.
Oh,
right?
No.
Oh.
Right? And I walk through the living room, and she died, and he says, oh, my God, they can't kill her. She's, like, the main character. And I said, eh, she wasn't that important anyway, and just kept on trucking right through the living room. Because when I'm not emotionally involved with the character, it doesn't make a difference to me.
Yeah, but...
For the record, she wasn't really dead, or sort of wasn't really dead.
Right.
You decide.
It's not a spoiler. You should have seen it by now.
You decide.
The end of that show got a little weird.
Oh, that's
one show that I did not like the finale.
We were just saying you don't get into something and not have an explanation for it, and then when you get down to the end, you just say, aliens, and you're done with it.
Yeah.
Andy and I had already...
They got the end and said, Earth, done with it.
Right. Well, Andy and I had already speculated that the reason that they never give you a time frame was because this is our past. Mm-hmm. We had already speculated that, but when you get to the end and you're like, random supernaturalness in the middle of a sci-fi show that's mm-hmm. been guiding you the whole time, you're like, no.
No, well, it's like... No.
If you watched anybody who watched the original series knew that Earth was the end.
Right.
Because they've done it that there were the 13 colonies were, or there was 12 colonies.
Right.
And the lost colony, well, of in Earth. This, and the original one, it was 13 tribes, I think they actually called them.
Right.
And then there were 13 tribes, and Earth was the 13th tribe.
Right.
It kind of is a loose, based on the Jewish.
Like the lost tribe.
Jews.
Yeah. Ron Moore, I love you, but you really had so many ways to get out of that finale mm-hmm. with a better explanation.
Right.
Including, like, a rogue Cylon regeneration Battlestar that had Starbuck on it. Like, talk about these things. I had, at the time that this was going on, because I shotgunned the entire series between seasons 3 and 4, because I was pregnant with Aurora, so I watched all of Voyager and then all of BSG up to time at that point. And so I had all these great explanations that could have actually worked. And ever since I came up with explanations for that, I have geek friends to this day, Kevin Stoner, who will not let me give them explanations for things. Because between my explanation for where BSG should have gone and my explanation for how at any time you can bring back the 10th Doctor, look me up, Chris Chibnall, whenever you want. I can bring back the 10th Doctor whenever you feel like it, like permanently. Between my explanations for that, I have geek friends to this day who absolutely will not listen to my speculation because they get heartbroken when the reality is not as good as what I explained to them.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I remember we were sitting there watching the finale, and I kept hoping for some somewhat logical, I guess, way to bring this all together. And as I'm watching this, I'm just like, so basically you're just saying that this is just one big loop, and so this happened... But then we're just going to hit the reset and it goes all over again?
Are you aware of The Dark Tower? You shouldn't read it if you haven't, because if you don't like loops, you won't.
I'm aware that the movie starts after the books end or something of that nature.
Okay, have you read the books?
No.
Okay.
I know about the cycle and getting to
now,
the
I'm
tower.
I'm okay with loops.
Yeah,
okay.
I know that.
Okay.
I'm okay with loops, don't get me wrong, but
they have to have a good explanation.
See, my problem with I loved the Battlestar series when it was on, the new one, mm-hmm. but my problem was it almost seemed like they were trying to go too deep with it. If you watch the original one, it was a sci-fi adventure show.
And that's right. The reason.
That's not what this was.
That's why I like the second one and not the first one.
Yeah.
See, I liked the first one because I watched it as a kid, and it was a great show for kids.
Oh, well, that's right. True.
Second right. one, I like them going deeper the way they did,
right.
and I was fine all the way up until that last episode.
And that was me, like, you know.
I liked it until the last episode.
Especially, like, you know, especially, like, that second half when all of a sudden you're finding out
it's good.
These original Cylons.
Mm-hmm. It's good halfway through.
Yeah.
Sam dies.
Right.
And then check out. Well, you are done with Battlestar Galactica.
If I remember it was canceled, they didn't end it. Wasn't it?
No, they planned it.
Okay. They planned it, yeah.
They planned it.
It seemed like they kind of were going full bore and all of a sudden, done.
They planned it.
It's like getting through a 500-page book and you don't like the ending. Like, it's just, like, the ending just cuts it off and doesn't give you what you...
But you're emotionally involved and you like the plot and you like the themes and you like where everything is going and you get to the end and it's got this really rushed
and you throw the book across the room.
And it goes right.
And you throw the book across the room and you're done forever with that book
exactly.
and you sell it at a yard sale.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And you tell people don't read it because you will get too invested in the kids.
Right. I typically love Ron Moore, and actually when I wrote some papers in my science fiction class in college, I wrote some of them on Next Generation episodes that Ron Moore wrote, because he tends to deal with modern societal issues in a way that British tradition sci-fi does, and I really prefer that. Hence the difference between, like, adventure sci-fi, mm-hmm. which is American tradition, mm-hmm. and British tradition, which is my forte. But he was really great at writing hardcore, topical science fiction. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the end of BSG and you're like, what, did your, like, mom die or something? Because you completely changed your life philosophy here in, like, the last half of the final episode.
Right. Right.
No offense. Maybe that's why I haven't tried Outlander. Sorry, Ron.
Wait, hold on. You know what? We completely got news. Do you have news?
We're gonna get to there.
Yeah,
Mr. Illinois has news. There's a couple of big ones that came out this week.
Oh yeah, a few things came out this week.
Well, I know of at least two big ones. One I actually watched sitting in the parking lot Friday night.
We don't want to talk about what Ken watches in parking lots.
Well, no. When we were doing the movie,
that does sound kind of sketchy.
It does. I know
what you do in the parking lot.
This is in the middle. We got our call time. We had to be on set at 5 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't start doing any of our stuff until about 1 a.m.
Oh,
so we're sitting out chilling in the parking lot, reading books on our phones and just chilling.
Mm-hmm. So is craft services really as good as
it's
they
a magical do? Place?
Really?
Dude, now I've not talked about it on here, but have you ever had PG Tips tea? Hot tea? Do you drink hot tea?
Yeah, yes, yes.
So have you had PG Tips?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I have, yeah.
Okay, I've given it to you, because everybody who tries this agrees, the greatest tea ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most
not
tea,
really, but
well,
yes, it's good.
Lipton tea, if you put it in the, in and you leave it too long, it's real bitter.
Right, yeah,
this stuff, you can leave that bag in there for 3 days, and you're going to
still
good.
Have you tried Red Rose, because it's a good tea.
It's
Red
good.
Rose is good.
I don't know, I like PG better myself, but that's...
Red Rose is my mom's tea of choice.
Mm-hmm. But
I'm a
20s
tips. Person.
They had all kinds of different snacks
different
and
flavors.
Like
choices.
Almonds and different spreads for crackers, and I don't know, what else was there? They had like Lara bars and...
Did they have pineapple
stuff.
Is the question.
Yes.
Yeah, actually they did have...
okay.
They had pineapple, then they had a pineapple with a face made on it.
Do they have pineapple chunks?
I think they did.
Cut?
Okay, I just
wanted
to make sure.
Yeah, craft is amazing.
Okay, craft services... How did this spit out of the news?
We're getting
I don't know.
Because this goes into the one
this
news
came,
story.
This
the,
came out of what did we do
it's
this
what
week?
You were doing in cars at night. Okay,
yes.
I understand.
But no.
Yeah, we just used the
no, we were
lot
sitting
to
there. We heard about the Cavs game because I knew the trailer was coming during the Cavs game. What?
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, I missed what you said.
Well, you just
the changing
the
room.
It was the parking lot.
Yeah, pretty much. But, No, during the Cavs game, everybody at this point should know the Black Panther trailer dropped.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? And I was lucky enough to see it on the big screen. Like, where I was, apparently everybody else didn't care, but they're Philistines. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, see, where you were
sports fans.
Where you were had the game on, so you
right.
were lucky enough that it was on a big screen at the
right.
time when the commercials came on.
Random laugh for no reason. No problem.
Yeah, like,
so, Black Panther.
Yeah, clothes, you want to get out of them as fast.
Yeah. The good thing was they also posted online at the same time, so I didn't have to suffer through any basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was... Where
were we going with
that? Talking about the trailer.
The 30 seconds of conspiracy theory with the bat, with sport pro sports for me, the reason the Cavs blew out like that, because they already knew they were going to win it. How many times have you seen a finale or the finals of any sport, major sports, that hasn't gone seven games?
You know what? Okay, you're right.
The Cavs are going to be the very first team to ever win a finals after three losses.
No.
That happens.
I didn't say that they were going to win the seventh game. The other games are rigged up to seven because you got to get to seven.
I'm just hoping that tonight, Sunday night, that they do lose it because I'm sick of hearing about it. I mean, just seriously.
But
like the local news, there's apparently no news going on except for sports, annoys me.
I've been a Clevelander or Cleveland area-er for like my whole life, and it's sports here is pathetic, so when you actually hear about winning, you kind of feel good about it. I mean, especially if it's a championship, even if they're going to blow it. I mean, I'm not bored of it, although I'm not a basketball person. I never have been.
I will say that in the past year the area has experienced some winning, there's been a different feel. Like, they don't really... People don't feel like Cleveland is a mistake by the lake.
They're not going to fight you in the streets now.
It
still might be a bunch of losers, but not when it comes to some sports.
Right. You know, it's like... No, I'm like, okay, you guys got an MMA champ, you guys got a hockey championship, and you got
Multiple baseball.
Oh, you got really close to baseball.
We didn't actually get the championship in baseball.
Yeah, we lost the World Series.
Not this time, but...
I mean, I think the one thing that ticks me off most about all of these is everyone calls them world champions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where's the Asian teams coming up in the NBA?
Says the Canadian.
There are Canadian teams. I have no problem with that, but we wouldn't say world champion when we won.
No, that's true. That's true. Right. America, we have an us-centric problem.
Yeah.
Most of us realize that when we say world champions here, it just means within the country.
Because
apparently most Americans don't think about the rest of the world. Shame on you. Think about the rest of the world.
That's the part that bothers me. That's why, like, when I bought a championship t-shirt for our nephew last year for Christmas, I made sure it didn't say world champs on it.
They don't call, I mean, but the NBA doesn't say world champs.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
The NBA says it. They call themselves the world championship Cleveland Cavaliers.
Well, the NFL plays in other countries.
Have not you heard that? I don't even watch basketball. Have not you heard that announcement play? Here are your world champion Cleveland Cavaliers! Woo!
Yep.
That's what they do.
Canada has teams.
Canada has one.
They are technically the continental champions.
Okay, but for the U.S., the world is apparently us.
And
only some parts of Canada.
That's... We have international players.
No.
Bring them in from the rest of the world.
For most of America, Canada consists of Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, and a bunch of wilderness.
That's Calgary.
It depends on if you're a sports fan. No.
That depends on who you're talking to.
People from Calgary know Calgary's wilderness.
I'm pretty sure that when I was younger, I didn't know Alberta existed until I found out that that's where Bret Hart is from.
That's wrestling. That's why Alberta is.
Calgary is known for two things: hockey and wrestling. That's it.
Yep.
And both of them are lumberjack sports.
There was the Calgary Kid. That was a show that they had on You Can't Do That on television.
What did he do?
I don't know. It was like a made up Western
character. That's because that was a
Western character.
Show.
See, Western character.
That's a Canadian show. I'm talking Americans in general think that.
We in this room probably have a skewed perspective, but. You know, we tend to think internationally when we think about those things.
But I was telling Don, like, I didn't know that when people talk about Canadians, they always talk about Canadians being very polite and very nice and almost passive. But see, my experience with Canadians was different because one of the members of Phoenix Force was Canadian, and he would blow the hell out of you. And then there was Wolverine.
He's not nice and polite at all.
I mean, I was like, I thought there was another character who was Canadian. I'm like, what do you mean Canadians are nice?
I think it might be, honestly, that we're just not used to the level of passive aggressiveness that Canadians can dish out. Because they can dish you some very polite passive aggressiveness.
That's true.
You don't realize you've been insulted until like an hour later.
That's true.
Right? And then you think about it and you're like, screw you, Kevin Ryder. I don't think he listens, but he would get a kick out of that.
So back to the Black Panther trailer.
That's right.
This show is the tangent show of all tangent shows.
Oh my God.
But hey, we need
a conversational show. I love the fact that they made fun of the fact that they were releasing the essentially the black movie trailer during predominantly black sports.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, I heard a lot about that when they announced that that's what it was going to be. Oh.
That's because anybody who's not a comic book fan has to find a political or a sociopolitical type thing.
People were pointing out, they're like, well, think of the audience that's watching it and who they want to be at the movies.
Yeah.
whoever said that, screw them, man.
Yeah. I saw a bunch of tweets for that, and I'm like, are you serious?
For the record,
I am definitely a Black Panther audience, target, and I am neither black nor am I male, so.
Right.
Well, and I don't watch basketball.
So there you go.
Well, that's what it is the marketing people look at it like, you're going to go there even if you've never seen a trailer.
Well, see, lately, if you think about it,
I would.
A lot of the teasers and trailers, they've been releasing during sports events anyway.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Well, exactly. During football, like I said, and baseball.
And
stuff
I think
too,
part of that is trying to draw in a crowd that wouldn't necessarily be watching it.
We are going to go see these movies anyway, even if we've never seen a trailer. If they just say, this is when the movie's opening, we're going to be there.
I'm going
to be there.
They're trying to pull the people that aren't going
to
normally be there.
We want to see fewer trailers, is what we want. They want to put more of them out there.
Do you remember the days when there used to be like three trailers for anything? Like the teaser trailer, the real trailer, and then like a final trailer in like the month before.
And all the TV spots were cut out of those trailers.
And they were all shorter and it was bits that you would recycle. Now there's like a 2-second clip in this one you haven't seen. And I got so bored with it, I don't jump.
And then the basic trailer is different from the international trailer. It's like,
you got the red band trailer.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I don't watch any of the extra trailers now. I'm just kind of like, let me see the first trailer.
Right.
Maybe one just before the movie and that's it.
That's about what I do. Yeah. If you feed me one while I'm watching another movie incidentally, that's okay. But I only seek out the first one and the one maybe a month before the movie comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So marketers, take note. We know your bullshit and we're not buying it.
Don't spend your money that way.
It's just like there's certain movies that like I'm just not interested in seeing any, because it's almost like they almost give you too much of the movie. Kingsman. I've seen all I want to see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the movie regardless.
Right.
I want to be surprised. I don't need any more.
There's a couple of trailers that have come out in the last couple months that I looked at and was like, dude, that's a perfect trailer. Because it showed you a bunch of really cool stuff, but you don't know anything about the plot of the movie.
Kingsman did that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Kingsman did that.
Kingsman had the best teaser, though.
Yeah.
Like, their first teaser that came out was only, like, 20, 30 seconds long.
That was the best.
But you actually had to watch it in slow-mo to see what was in it, because it went so... Like, it had, like, millisecond clips in the whole thing.
That was actually the only trailer I saw for Kingsman. And I was like, I need to see that movie.
Yes.
I knew immediately.
That was a great way of doing it.
Speaking of gripes with trailers, when we started this conversation today, pre-recording maybe, unless Ken has it recorded, I was complaining about the Mummy trailer.
Right.
Yes.
Right? And we were talking about how the Mummy has a terrible Rotten Tomatoes score. As of yesterday morning when this was recorded, it was like 1.5.
IMDb has it as a 6-star.
Okay. This was Rotten Tomatoes yesterday. I actually saw a friend say, okay, Rotten Tomatoes says it's 1.5. Please skip it and just see Wonder Woman again instead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about that, because some of the trailers for the Tom Cruise Mummy looked okay to me.
Holy crap.
But here's my gripe with those trailers, okay? If you're going to put dialogue and perhaps plot or mythology into a trailer, stay consistent with what you put out already.
Uh-oh.
Don't give me conflicting things in multiple trailers. You're putting out too many trailers. Because the first full-length Mummy trailer kind of establishes that the reason that Tom Cruise's character is still alive is because he's cursed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we see him should have died in a plane crash or something.
Yes.
Because I haven't seen the movie, so I'm going strictly off trailers. Should have died somehow in this plane crash after the Mummy has been released. And they say, oh, well, the reason you're still alive is because you're cursed. Okay, that's interesting, because the rest of the trailers spend the entire time trying to kill him. But why would you be alive if, from the beginning... See, there's paradox there. It just wraps around itself like an Ouroboros eating itself.
Mm-hmm.
So please, you know, stay consistent in your message there. If you're going to change it in the movie, cool. Have a good explanation for it that I will buy. I am extremely picky. don't feed it to me in a trailer.
True.
Please
true.
Don't.
Yeah. They and interestingly, they didn't have much faith in this movie because they thought it would make maybe up to $45 million opening weekend, and they said they're lucky if they get to $35 million. Actually,
wow! Oh, the box office box office already is showing at $174 million
worldwide or domestic?
That's got to be worldwide then, not domestic.
Yes, worldwide.
Yeah, no, they were talking domestic.
Wonder Woman did almost $500 million first weekend worldwide.
Yeah, exactly.
And they only did 110 domestic.
The Mummy is supposed to be the start of their dark universe, like movie monsters.
Well, the last three horror movies they put out were supposed to be the start of the dark universe.
That's what
this one
say.
Technically is supposed to be the very beginning again because they've talked about doing.
But didn't they do a Dracula?
Dracula Untold was supposed to be the beginning.
That was supposed to be it. Yeah.
That one actually wasn't terrible.
They christened the universe. I still haven't seen it. Andy, yeah. I wanted to go with Andy, and Andy had no interest.
Universal,
in that
for the last 10 years, has wanted to start because they're seeing what Marvel's done. They've been wanting to start a monster universe because they still own the rights to all of their classic horror movies.
Exactly.
Right.
The Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, Creature from the Black Lagoon, The Wolfman. So the Wolfman was made a couple years ago. That was supposed to be part... and none of them have jumped enough for them to actually get something going off of it.
Well, off of this one, they hired people for other movies, though. Like, yeah. Johnny Depp's supposed to be Invisible Man.
Right.
Russell Crowe is in The Mummy, and he's actually Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh, he is?
And,
I thought he was supposed to be Van Helsing.
And no, he's Jekyll and Hyde, and he's the head of the organization that is supposed to run through all of these movies to study the creatures and follow them.
Okay.
Javier Bardem is supposed to be involved in Frankenstein. I don't know if the doctor or the monster, what side of it.
He would do good as a monster, I think.
The next movie is supposed to be Bride of Frankenstein. And they've talked about including Phantom of the Opera and Hunchback of Notre Dame. And as well as Wolfman and stuff. So,
again,
I think they're trying too hard.
I've never been against the idea of meshing Victorian horror with, like, classic movie monsters, like, from the 20s. And that's basically what this does. This takes early sci-fi, early horror, and meshes all of that together. They fit extremely well thematically and character-wise. Makes perfect sense to me. Penny Dreadful did it right.
Yeah.
And
that's why
now I'm kind of worried that anything that goes on here has to be above that story-wise. See, that might be what they're missing. The story has to drive it. You can't just take a character and say, I want to see cool effects with this character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has to be story-driven.
Part of the problem is, though, they're getting big names for every movie, and the star of the movie is supposed to be the monster. That's why you're going to see the movie.
Right.
Well, if you got to think, what was the star of those classic horror movies? Who was the star? Like Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi. Mm-hmm.
And these were the guys who were playing the monster.
They were, exactly. Right. They were the monster. So, Tom Cruise fans are going to go see this movie to see Tom Cruise, but... It shouldn't be a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it shouldn't be.
That's where I think they actually did it right with a lot of people didn't like the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies. I think they did that correct because they didn't try to make a horror movie.
Right.
They gave you an adventure, a period adventure with the Mummy was what caused it.
Right.
And I think that first Mummy movie was great. You could have actually done the universe they wanted off of something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, it looks like this one, they're trying to go dark, and it's the wrong
direction for this. They're taking it very seriously.
The Brendan Fraser split the difference between something like Indiana Jones and a horror movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it did a really nice job of that, and it's accessible
the
from
second
all
one was,
sides.
I thought,
the second one is still good.
Now,
when
the Scorpion King stuff, they went in a weird direction, and they said, you know what, we got The Rock in here, he did a lot better than I thought, let's make another movie.
Yeah.
Right. That's where it kind of...
Yeah, there's like six Scorpion King movies.
Oh, geez. That's
where... They went direct to DVD.
That's where it turned left for me.
Yeah.
Was with the original Scorpion King. But
and then they had the third
two...
Mummy movie, which was, what, China?
Yeah, that one's...
Oh, yeah.
That one's okay, too. It's not great, but it's not as good as, like, the first one. The first one's definitely a decent movie.
Yeah.
You're right. It's tone. You gotta get tone, and then if you want to build a universe, you have to have a character-driven universe. I mean, you can pull in all these effects that you want to see in these major things, but Marvel did it right because they didn't take those major things and jump into them.
No.
They built slowly and then went into the major things, and you have existing strong character foundations to build that into, and then it doesn't seem absurd that everybody's going to fight Thanos in space.
Well,
right.
another thing that looks weird about this Mummy movies out now is whoever the director is or the cinematographer or whatever seemed like they went to the Zack Snyder school of choosing your colors. Because the trailers I've seen, everything is gray.
Yes.
The entire movie, no matter where they're at, what they're doing,
it's all gray and dusty and dark. And
Andy and I had that discussion about Wonder Woman, too. Because
Wonder Woman is cool because it changes that through the movie.
It does. It does, too. And you guys probably talked about this last week.
I think we did. I don't know.
But that's okay. I wasn't here, so I'll just put in my two cents now. I absolutely loved how, basically, until the end, the final act, it's not necessarily in that color. Everything has color. Everything, especially the village fight in No Man's Land. Mm-hmm. Even though No Man's Land has that color, when she shows up, it pops. Mm-hmm. There's brightness that comes through, and it feels realistic. And the village fight feels more like a Marvel fight because it feels more realistic.
Right.
Then that last act jumps, and it goes where DC goes.
But right. That last act takes place at night, so...
That's true. Right. It does take place at night, which has something to do with it. But
yeah.
And this is entirely me, and it's a stylistic gripe, and it's not discredit to the movie at all. It's just my personal preference. I don't like things that I can tell are filmed, like, 100% green screen.
Yeah.
And that whole last act, really, after they leave the office building, it hurts me. It hurts me painfully.
Yeah, there was some things that were far too obvious when you're watching it, the movements and the people, and you're like...
And I was feeling for an analogy, because I know I felt something that was filmed like this, or at least that final fight scene. And, you know, it's terrifying to me because it's done so much better than the analogy that I pulled out. But it feels like Sky Captain.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, Kylan. He felt that. It took me like a day to process through where I was feeling that from. And it feels like Sky Captain to me because...
That's another one, though, that the chose one color and stayed there.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true. But that's, again, I think that's like the Zack Snyder choice, the right. color palette mm-hmm. for it. But Wonder Woman, thankfully... is like 85% not that right. color palette. Right. So it, more, that works in its favor.
It's more light.
It is.
And I had just saw a headline of what if she directed a Superman?
Yeah, Patty Jenkins has come out and said wouldn't mind doing a Superman movie. Yeah.
I think she could do a good job.
I'll go.
And if they let her do Superman, actually let him be Superman.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Stop trying to change the character.
There's
exactly.
that.
Yeah. Right.
There's that. Yeah.
That's just it. I mean, Wonder Woman was Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't. They didn't try to change the character.
It's missing bits of her story.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to fill in everything.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer every question. You need to just give a good foundation and make sure the character is true to who she is.
If you want those answers, just go read the comics.
That's absolutely it. That's absolutely it.
Yeah. You don't need them in the movies. For Justice League is they're finally. I mean the. This is where I think they messed up because we know Superman's going to be in Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay?
Yeah. Yep.
But anybody who isn't a super huge comic book fan just saw Superman die, and now they're actually starting in the promo stuff putting out Superman in with the team.
It's like, yeah, they released the dead. Toys. They
I know.
Released toys.
Well, he's supposed to be dead.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, but what I'm hoping with this Justice League, since he was dead, hopefully when they bring him back, they'll be able to move him closer to what Superman's supposed to be, maybe. Is what my hope is.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice. That would be nice if they used it, kind of like the comics used it.
Although
let him reboot it.
Based on the trailer, the movie does look dark still.
Well, the trailer, I think, was cut before there was a new director. And
it's not a new director,
it's
though.
A
yeah,
he's finishing it,
and he actually stated
it'll
that
still be
he's
Zach,
not changing
right.
Zack's vision for it. So
no.
it's
yeah.
not gonna
it's
not gonna suddenly become a Whedon movie.
And it's still at the point where it's 100% Snyder choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cinematography. If
exactly, it's all shot.
If Joss has a question about something, I have a feeling there will be a call.
Yeah, exactly.
To Zach
exactly.
to fix
yeah.
it the way he would want it.
Right.
Because this as much as I would love it to be a Whedon movie. It's not
well,
it.
We are going to get at least one Whedon DC movie.
Yeah,
but
you know, if it became a Whedon movie, we'd be losing a major character somewhere.
Yeah.
one of those members would die.
Is this a bad thing?
Maybe they'll introduce Hal Jordan, let him go, and we'll get Kyle Rayner. Oh, wait, that's just me.
I'm
no,
Kyle
Rayner. I like Kyle Rayner.
Or you lose Barry and bring in Wally.
Just lose the Flash altogether, that's fine.
Oh, Wally West is fun.
How do we solve the problem? Go really fast.
Well, you bring in Jason Todd and just kill him. You know,
yeah.
That's true. That's the
I
only
think we've
reason
already lost him, though.
Kill him off.
If you watch, from Batman v Superman, I think we've already lost Jason Todd.
That's true. If you see what's in... What's in Bruce?
Because they have the Robin costume.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, never mind.
He's already gone. Yeah.
That's right.
They're not guaranteed that that's who that was, but that's who that was.
Yeah. Well, I'm not.
If you know the stories, yeah. It's a given.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not.
You know, we haven't talked about the Black Panther trailer yet.
Yeah. Let's hit the. Well, we've gone about 45 minutes now, so
we should talk about Black Panther.
We did have Lost in Geekdom, and we have a couple of other news stories we have to get to.
Yeah.
All right.
So what? Black Panther.
So Kyle, we know you're the Black Panther guy here.
Oh yeah.
Not just because you're black.
No, so I, you know what?
That just gives you extra credibility.
Well, now this was a teaser trailer, mind you.
There was a lot for it to be a teaser.
It was a lot for a teaser. I was surprised
how long it was.
Yeah. Was it like 45 seconds, a minute?
No, it was like a minute and a half.
It was a minute and a half or so, yeah. It was long.
Saying, I kept telling myself in my head, I'm saying this is just a teaser trailer, but it didn't feel like a teaser trailer.
It kept going.
You know? I mean, so, you know, we're getting, we see... You know, we're seeing bits of from we're seeing the effects of things from Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the trailer as well as,
which is standard Marvel formula at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and it also gives you the right away, it tells you when it takes place.
Right.
Because some Marvel movies kind of jump a little depending on which universe you're in.
No, right. Yeah, but we know straight up that this is after Civil War.
You know, like
War.
Guardians of the Galaxy, you know that happens before or at the same time sort of thing. So you know that this happens after Civil War and that's where you're starting.
And we actually get to see Wakanda.
Yes.
Wow.
And Wakanda tech.
And Wakanda tech.
I
love the explanation they have of Wakanda when, what is his name, Claw?
Claw,
talking about how Wakanda is El Dorado. They were looking for years and they were in the wrong place.
Yes.
Well, and you may have found where it was, but you didn't look beneath.
You see the land.
You didn't look where you should have looked.
Exactly.
And, you know, then in the one scene where the mercenaries or hunting the dog or whatever, and then next you know you look up and you just a little flash and then shoo, 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 and I'm like, oh my god. And you know, and the whole thing, like, you're a good man with a good heart, but a good man can't be king, you know. And I'm like, this is gonna be really interesting, cause especially with the things that have happened. I know the recent events in the Black Panther comic have nothing to do with what's going on in the movie, but you're going to get to, I believe, see a bit of who T'Challa is as a person and as a king, because he struggles with that constantly, and that's one of the things I love about the comic.
Well,
is that
if you look at the character in Civil War, he's not likable.
He was
a very cold, almost political aristocratic character.
Well, yeah,
and
because
he was not trying to make friends, and I think that's part of where they're going with it, showing you why.
Well,
but I don't think that you can walk away from seeing Civil War and not respect him.
No, absolutely.
And see, the thing is, like, prior leading up to this, and this is just me coming from a comic guy, is that Wakanda was largely cut off from the rest of the world with very little, if any, interaction with
the
outside world.
Of their own choice, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of their own choice.
Because they didn't need it.
Yeah.
They don't need it. The world needs them. They don't need if they follow the comics, he was educated outside of the U.S., like, I mean, outside of Wakanda, he was educated at the finest universities.
He'd gone to Cambridge or something.
Right.
Before they talked about it.
Well, I think they were going to do a flashback of him at school in the movie.
Right. Yeah,
when he was talking to Black Widow, I think he was talking about how he actually went to Cambridge.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. He graduated from Cambridge, and so he's world educated,
right.
Fluent in like many languages. But he just has no use for the outside world. That's just the way he was raised.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when you see him in Civil War, okay, yeah, he's a bit of a jerk because he's kind of like, you know, I have the best of everything from where I'm from. I don't need you people.
Well, that's just it. Now I have to deal with you.
Right.
They're forced into it, and that's why Wakanda has to interact now.
Right. And so it's going to, you know, and you see, you know, from what we see, there's... I don't know exactly where the story is going to go. I know that Claw is going to figure heavily into this. And Claw is an amazing bad guy. Like, mm-hmm. and especially he is almost like the perfect foil for Black Panther. And so this is going.
I was always afraid of Dr. Claw.
I'm excited. I'm excited
and
about
And quite
this.
Honestly, I'm glad that the trailer showed so much to give you a good feel for everything that's going to be in the movie. Like, even his female guard.
Yeah.
Like, seeing the women come out and fight with something. Like, that was freaking awesome.
Yes.
Now, speculation at this point, are we going to get Steve Rogers in this? Because at the end of Civil War, he was in Wakanda, and they told him, you don't have to leave.
I think you're we're likely to see Bucky, not Rogers.
I agree.
But yeah. Bucky's in stasis or whatever there.
Yeah, right. but I think you're going to see him. They're going to wake him up.
So
that's
they may,
right.
Yeah, possibly.
That's, it's temporary. It's, you know.
Well, yeah.
But I think that's what I, if anything, maybe as a post-credits trailer, depending on what the overreaching plot is, I still think you're going to get Rogers in there at some point.
I think so.
If it was up to me, I would completely wipe away the American heroes for this story.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if IMDb has spoiled this.
I wouldn't, because this isn't an American story.
That's true, too.
I would move it along, because with the Marvel movies, they've tried to be true to the genre and setting of each of the individual mm-hmm. character
right.
origins. And I think that Black Panther should be no different.
Right.
That he shouldn't have like a first origin story
right.
on his own that's dependent on another hero.
I mean, he's had interaction, obviously, with the Avengers, and, you know, Bucky is there. So that's an excuse to have him show up
right.
at some point. And but, like you said, that look at Doctor Strange, look at the first Thor, look at all of these other movies. They didn't
yep.
have the other characters in them
right.
because you didn't need them.
The only one that will have it is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's because we got him so late.
Right.
So we kind of had no choice. Fans
right.
were like, can you smash him into Civil War? So we
and,
sort
and
of
plus
had
it,
to include.
It makes sense, though, that Tony Stark is in Homecoming because he brought Spider-Man in.
Right. Well,
and he gives him the suits.
Right.
You know?
The complaints that I've heard from a lot of people about Homecoming, especially the trailers, is that there's too much Iron Man in a Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that we're getting 90 to 95% of the Tony Stark that will be in.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't think
in the trailers.
In the movie.
No.
I don't think he's really that present in the movie, although time will tell. But in that case, Spider-Man is, if not by location, by history, intrinsically intertwined with these other characters.
Yes.
And
right.
that is an intimately American story, that the New York
mm-hmm.
the New York setting stuff is
yeah.
always intrinsically American. Wakanda is not. So
no.
I'm hoping that we can avoid at least the American characters. Now, I've never been one to say, oh, Black Widow shouldn't have been in that movie. She can go wherever she wants.
Right.
Like, I have no problem.
That's
with
true,
that.
Technically, not American character.
That's okay. right. I have no problem with that.
This, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I was looking to see if they'd IMDb spoiled this, but Evans is not on there, but Felicia Rashad's in this movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
yeah,
cool.
I think she's
a big
is she
cast.
The mother?
Is she I don't know.
See, that's what I thought.
There's
but
a guy playing
Man
Ape is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Man Ape? I don't know. Is it,
yeah,
it's a DC comic, or it's a Marvel
yeah.
Comics character. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. It's one of the.
But I was happy to see Martin.
Yeah.
I was happy to see Martin Freeman in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That character from Civil War, that was cool.
That and it made sense. He's doing the interrogation.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah,
that
he was
a carry through from where we are story wise.
Yeah,
right.
That's how helps you. Join
that's
them.
Another thing that will also help set it apart timeline wise, because Marvel's now doing stories that are out of sequence. Chronologically.
Some, yeah.
Why can't any of us speak today?
This one's not, though. This one's actually the next one
yeah,
after.
Right.
Yeah.
right.
So it'll be nice to see, like, Martin Freeman's character will
yeah.
tell you visually if you can't pick up on other cues.
Well, the cool thing is, the
that.
Ones that Marvel does do out of sequence, it really doesn't matter where they're at in the sequence, because they're a total standalone, like
Doctor
Strange. Strange is a total standalone that you could have put just about anywhere.
Doctor mm-hmm. Strange is a beautiful way to build a large badass character that you haven't seen that's just under the radar.
Yes.
And they gave him enough time and backstory that by the time we see him say, oh, I can help you with that,
mm-hmm.
we get the sense that he's already built up.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so I'm thinking that we have this teaser. I'm going to call it a trailer, because this is a teaser and name only.
It feels like a trailer.
So we have this trailer, and I'll be honest with you, like, I was already sold before even seeing anything anyway. The action looks great.
There's always doubters with Marvel movies. Right. Though. Like, they're always just waiting.
But you
know what?
There's
always doubters that are just like, well, oh, I gotta see it first.
So to all the doubters out there, Marvel made you care about a gun-toting raccoon.
And talking tree.
And talking tree. Marvel made you care about a man whose ability is to shrink and still have the strength of a man.
That was the tough sell for me.
That was big,
yeah. And I read Original Avengers with Ant-Man / Giant-Man.
Right.
And for me, I was like,
right.
Are we really going to do this independently? But it's because it's a fusion of the actor and the character, a lot like Iron Man.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they made you, they made you care about, let me see. They made you care about a gun-toting raccoon.
We got that.
And, well, I'm not done yet. A gun-toting raccoon. And a talking tree so much that you were freaking excited to get a second movie. I'm just saying, Black Panther.
They got you to care about a Blue Mary Poppins.
They got you to care about Blue Mary Poppins.
I was shocked that that went over as well.
Yes.
Yeah, they were shocked that that's the one liner that actually.
And James Gunn is loving seeing all the mashups that people come up with for it.
Oh, yes, yes. That's...
I mean, because this past week, well, the new Entertainment Weekly
has
the Mary Poppins cover, and people have already photoshopped Yondu on the cover and everything.
Yeah,
I mean, that was, like, one of the best lines, because I never would have thought anybody would have said, Mary Poppins cool?
When you guys saw it, did they give you swag at the door? They gave us swag, because we pre-booked the double feature, so it showed the old one and then showed the new one right after it, right when it was released. And they gave us posters, like square posters, and then a set of two buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm assuming the buttons are what they thought would end up being the taglines out of it.
And there's no Mary Poppins buttons.
There's no Mary Poppins, y'all. One of them is obviously, and the other one... I can't even remember.
Obviously was their tagline on the poster, I think.
Right.
Volume 2, obviously.
Another one was We Are Groot was another one that they thought was going to be a big one, and it wasn't.
Yeah. That's not on... There are two buttons here, and they're just black with white lettering. And you would not know they're related to the movie
at all. And that's just it. You don't know ahead of time what's going to hit. That's the thing. You've got to get these things produced. What are you going to do? It's like, just pick the lines.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's just like in Star Wars. They thought Phasma was a boy.
In fact, when the first trailer came out, I was talking to Rick, and he goes, "That's my new cosplay." I'm like, "It's a girl."
But go for it.
That's great. You do you, man.
Well, let's move into another one that I don't want to end on a low note.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to kind of, we did say, what was it, yesterday was announced?
Yes.
As of time of recording on Saturday, that we lost a geek icon, another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Adam West finally lost the battle with leukemia.
Yes.
Yes.
It was a short battle, but yeah.
That's a rough one.
But he was 88.
Yeah, at his age, and leukemia is a terrible disease. I mean,
and usually, if you hear about someone older getting it, it doesn't take long.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't have the strength to fight it as.
Mm-hmm. No.
If they catch it early when you're young, then you got a chance.
Yeah.
But
there are a couple of different kinds too. Yeah. One of my uncles, I did not meet him. He died in 1971, died of leukemia. Now, that kind is now mostly pediatrically diagnosed and the most survivable.
Yeah.
But there are some that are unfortunately still a death sentence. Mm-hmm. And we don't know exactly what was going on with Adam West and with his advanced age and probably other health issues.
Yeah.
But I think he was universally beloved, so...
Yeah, and you look throughout his career, he's one of the ones that never, as far as I can tell, never looked back with any regret.
No.
Like, some of them, like, you talk to Star Trek icons like Nimoy and Shatner, a lot of those, at a certain point, were kind of sorry that they had done Star Trek. They got past it.
Nimoy was
they learned.
Picky with people, but he wasn't picky about the job ever, because he shaped that character. Shatner, though, went through a well-publicized past.
Yes.
They moved past it and embraced it,
but no...
Adam West always embraced it.
Tom Baker, even. He stepped away from Who, didn't do cons, didn't want to talk about
That's true.
And we've gotten him back.
Yes. So, but we got to give the Geek Watch one farewell to our first Batman. He wasn't the
really,
first on-screen Batman,
first,
but
quite honestly,
most
I think
people's first Batman.
Regardless of what you feel about the 60s campy Batman show... He was the first Batman for a lot of people.
Yeah.
He was mine.
Yeah.
He was mine.
He was my daughter's, actually, because they had not watched any of the Batman cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about 60s campy stuff, and I said, you know what? You have to watch the 60s Batman.
Well, for live action, it's a perfect introduction for kids, yeah. even now.
And we started we started with Bat Shark Repellent. That sold them instantaneously. Well,
for a lot of people, even that, for me, even the, before I ever saw the TV series, he was my first Batman because he was the voice of Batman on Super Friends.
That's true.
Oh, that's true. Right. I saw years. That, too. Yeah.
That's right.
So, and I mean, even now, you had him as the mayor.
Yeah.
On
I know. Have you have you read anything about their tributes to him? It's apparently they're taking it extremely hard because he's an integral part of, you know, the guys that run Family Guy, and I'm not talking just Seth MacFarlane. I'm talking about a group of people. They're geeks in and of themselves for different things sometimes, mm-hmm. but they're all geeks. And apparently they all had fond childhood memories of him, and then working with him as an adult was like working with one of their icons. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I'm kind of expecting to see like a tribute episode that says goodbye to Mayor West because of the way they seem to be taking it. They were all recently close with him and working with him, you know, relatively recently.
And if you see anything on Facebook or in tweets or anything that says Adam Wee, that is an actual Family Guy related joke.
Okay.
From one of the episodes, they're not misspelling West. It's an actual little tribute, so people do know what they're doing if they say farewell to Adam Wee.
Did they actually had he recorded the second movie yet? Because last fall they released a Adam West Burt Ward Batman movie animated.
That's right.
Right.
And they were supposed to be made. Start. It was supposed to be the first of a series of films.
I don't know.
And it's set in the Batman 66 universe.
I don't.
So I know the second one they were writing. I don't know if they ever got a chance to record it.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to check.
I'm unaware of that, but I do know that apparently he and Burt Ward were friends for life, despite the fact that they only worked together for 3 years.
Yeah, they absolutely were. I mean, they showed up at cons together and everything. I mean, they were together all the time.
Right.
So it's kind of like, how could you not?
Wait, were we at a con and he was there?
Yeah, we saw Adam West.
Yeah,
at
we
con.
Did. We got to see him at a con. Yeah.
So I've heard that. I've never heard a bad word about.
No.
So no.
That was one celebrity who never had tantrums.
No.
Or never said anything.
He
bad
embraced
about his
it.
Fans.
He said, "You know what? That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the job."
You know, I was talking. I was talking with my brother, and we're trying to think of how many people are still alive from that show, and I think it's the two cat women. And Burt Ward, and I think that's
it. One just passed, too, last year.
Which one?
There
was Eartha Kitt, Julie Newmar, and there was one other one. Julie Newmar was only in the TV series, or only in the movie, though, wasn't it?
No, she was in the TV series.
The one that was in the movie was just in the movie.
I thought it was Julie Newmar that was in the movie.
Because if I remember right,
Lee Meriwether.
Because she was brought in for the movie only because they couldn't get the one who was on the TV series. She was, because of scheduling, she couldn't get in there, so they brought in someone else to do it, and then they went back for the series.
So I mean, that show, a lot of them are
Well, I mean, it was in the 60s.
Right. Well, think of that, in that Batman 66 series, what legends were on, you had Burgess Meredith was the Penguin.
Oh, yeah.
Cesar Romero, which was a legend in his day, was the Joker.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Vincent Price.
That's right, Vincent Price.
Was Egghead,
he was Egghead. Yeah, yeah.
So it's
there were a lot of people.
Yeah, Eartha Kitt,
So, but we gotta bring it back up now. What? Now, did you have any other major news stories that you? Because I have one more other. I have another thing we've purposely not talked about yet, and we're not gonna go super huge on it.
I don't. Nothing huge other than the CW release fall premiere dates.
Yeah, I saw that. Anything surprising?
And they've. No, they're all basically in the same week in October. Starting on the 9th with Supergirl.
We knew about the changes in
Legends
days
of Tomorrow is moving to Tuesdays, being just after The Flash now.
Well, that's where they were on the second half of the season, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Arrow is following after Supernatural now.
That's
on
different
Thursdays.
Because they moved it to 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock.
I wonder if that means they're going to even. I wonder if that means they're going to go darker with Arrow now.
No, I think it's just a just
no,
gives them
it's
something.
Just time.
Yeah,
it
no.
just for CW, it's not going to make any difference.
It was
difference.
A good spot. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think the Wednesday night spot has something else in there now.
They're doing Wednesdays. I know they're doing Riverdale at 8.
Okay.
I don't know what's at 9, but...
So I know Friday is going to be their chick comedy, basically.
Yeah.
Because it's the... Crazy Ex-Girlfriend or whatever that is, okay. the musical one, and Jane the Virgin.
Okay.
On a Friday. So,
Has anybody heard if BBC has officially canceled Class yet?
I don't know.
I've heard it's looking bad for season 2, but they haven't officially canceled.
They left it on a cliffhanger.
Which really sucks. Yes! The end of Class! You do not bring in a classic Who villain and then go, oops, no second season.
Oops! You never know. Somebody said maybe they would tie it in a Who episode. I'll just tell you now, that's not going to happen.
No.
No.
If they stop it here, it's dead in its tracks. And you get nothing.
Didn't they do that?
Do we get a Class movie? Maybe to finish.
Do we get a Class movie? That would be good.
No, and
I was really liking the show. Like, it was getting better. And
there,
it got
there
to
are
that
a
finale.
Couple of rough episodes, maybe 3 and 4 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a couple where you're like, weird. But then, if they had dealt with some character issues early on instead of forcing some people together,
yeah.
But then it made sense later, mm-hmm. and it started going steeply uphill pretty quickly,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like, oh, but.
Then,
maybe
yeah, then,
nothing.
Then you've suddenly got this mysterious organization, and then they suddenly reveal things in the last episode, and you're like, but!
Right.
Well,
and
did the Sarah Jane Chronicles or Adventures actually end on a cliffhanger also, if I remember? They got canceled?
It wasn't canceled. She died while it was still
running.
Oh, okay. Because I knew it kind of had a weird
Liz
abrupt
Slayton
ending.
Died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, it's abrupt because there was no way to,
yeah.
to tie
no
it
choice.
Up properly.
Yeah.
Right. And the fandom and all of the people who worked with her said she's an amazing person.
Yeah.
So if they could have tied it up,
they would have.
They
yeah.
would have, but there was no way to do
but
it
yeah,
properly.
Yeah, I've been looking to see if they've confirmed Class one way
back
or another.
Back and forth.
Because the writer has left. He said there's no way he's coming back.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he said he's not coming back, so that's why he actually said he doesn't believe there'll be a second season. Because he doesn't know who they'd get to replace him. But, I mean, that's... To me, that's kind of an ego thing. Like,
it's,
no one can replace me. But,
just
you know?
Kind of an ego thing. With Who property is pretty much universally, once it's established and Class is established enough to do this, you can interchange writers back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'll bring in elements here and there that, from where they started, especially my Torchwood writers who are all showing up in Doctor Who. I love you all!
Absolutely.
That's true.
And there was just a Torchwood marathon on Memorial Day,
uh-huh.
interestingly
yeah.
enough.
They've started showing it again on BBC America.
Right, yes,
like,
I know. That's
yeah.
that's
well,
quite interesting.
The cool thing with Torchwood was, it was 5 seasons or 4 seasons? And they were all averaged, I mean, other than Miracle Day, they averaged
yeah.
like 10 to 12 episodes. So
yeah.
it's
right.
like you could binge the whole thing
you
in 2 or 3 days.
A lot of Torchwood,
yeah,
yeah.
Children of Earth, if you've never watched Torchwood, but you know who Jack Harkness is, just drop in and watch Children of Earth. See if you like it.
Mm-hmm.
It is the epitome of the best Torchwood out there.
Yeah.
They've revived it in the audios. Barrowman's doing a lot more BBC meetings again. It showed back up on BBCA. Fingers crossed, I guess.
Well, he's no longer going to be on Arrow.
I know. And,
yeah.
And
you need another
deal.
Job.
They approached him and said, "Here's what we want to do," and he said, "Okay, do it." So, maybe? I just found out yesterday, because it was just announced this week, that Barrowman is going to be at Wizard World Columbus with David Tennant. And,
oh, nice.
That is one of 2 or 3 David Tennant combos that could pull me out to a Wizard World. So there is a very good chance that I will be at Wizard World Columbus August 5th and 6th. We'll see. We'll see how much it costs, because I know the individual photo shoots aren't bad, but as of right now, there's no dual photo op. And if I can't
they
get...
Will.
They
will.
They have to
love each other.
I mean,
and
they only just announced he's going to be there, so I'm sure they're
going to
arrange it.
And on Tennant's blog... Yeah, they just announced like 2 days ago,
yeah.
maybe. And on Tennant's blog, he just put up a picture of the two of them together in a bathroom that John Barrowman took, of them smashing their faces together like ridiculous idiots, saying that they would be together at both Wizard World Columbus and Wizard World Chicago.
Yeah, there's only a couple of them.
So, and it said, look for dual photo ops. And I'm looking at you, Columbus Wizard World. Where is your dual photo op on your website? It's not there yet. But that's a potential thing. So hopefully Torchwood, fingers crossed, it moved forward in comics, it moved forward in audios.
Mm-hmm.
He and his sister are writing novels that actually
yep.
take the story out of Miracle Day and go back to what Torchwood is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So please, That's, you know, it's my hope within without hope. Like, I keep hoping for that one.
If there's one thing that both Who and Torchwood have done well, it's continuing stories outside of just the TV universe.
They've always intended to do that. Part of what happened post-cancellation of original Who is that a lot of people started writing fan fiction, and the fan fiction picked up so much of a following in the absence of authentic Who that then I believe the audios picked up in between.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people who were writing audios are now the integral parts of why you have Who now. So you have Russell T, who brought in Stephen Moffat and Chris Chibnall and Nick Briggs, and they are all people who wrote fan fiction and or write audio plays and contribute to the show. And so these fan fiction writers are the reason that Doctor Who continues today and expands in other formats like comics, like audio books and audio plays. So fear not, fan fiction writers. There is an actual market for your job if you go far enough.
That's right. Okay. Keep with it.
We're running out of time rapidly. Mm-hmm. There was another part of our trip this weekend that we didn't talk about yet.
Yes, there was.
We actually, Vicky and I finally, we've talked about it on here before, that in Cincinnati there's this building. It is the Cincinnati Museum Center at Union Station. It's an old, anybody remembers the Union Train Lines, which I think Union Rail is still a company, but they're not passenger cars.
Right.
Well, this was, they were major passenger cars cross-country for years, and they had these giant, awesome, beautiful train stations that they built in the major cities. Well, the one in Cincinnati just happens to look exactly like the Hall of Justice from Super Friends.
Mm-hmm. That's because the Hall of Justice is based on that building.
Or just happens to look like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, Vicky and I, since we were driving through Cincinnati yesterday, stopped by to check it out. No, unfortunately, it was being renovated, so we weren't able to look around a lot inside the building. And the outside had the cranes and stuff all over it, but I still got a couple pictures. But happens that at the same time, they were having the Star Wars, what is it, the Power of Costume exhibit, traveling show. And this thing was amazing.
Can I talk about all the first reaction? When we went in, concurred.
I was just going to get to that.
but he wasn't the only one. I've seen many wives / girlfriends holding their other half up as they were standing.
There were some feels shaking. Going on.
There was a little bit of feels. You walk in being a train station, most of the museum is actually underground.
Right.
So you go down to the exhibit, and it was like we had a 3 o'clock pass to get in. They opened up in certain segments or something.
We got there 15 minutes before, so it was meant to go through.
Yeah. So, but we walked, and it only took us, we rushed through, and we got in an hour and 15 minutes to get through it. But these are actually screen-worn costumes they got them from it was put together by the Smithsonian, the Lucas Museum of Narrative Arts that's going to be built in Chicago. Or not Chicago. They're trying to get into Chicago. And,
they're not in Chicago.
Some people, yeah.
California.
They're going out to L.A.
Yep.
And Lucasfilm. Together, the three of them put this together. And but you walk in the first aisle, and you get an intro video of basically what Star Wars and what costumes meant to Star Wars. And you go up this hallway with just different phrases from Star Wars or from Lucas painted on the walls.
Right.
You turn the corner, and the first thing you see is the mannequin standing there with Alec Guinness's 1977 Obi-Wan Kenobi costume just sitting there.
You can see it worn because it was
and
torn.
And it was worn, and it was,
around
oh,
the edges
it was,
of
dude.
Cape and stuff.
And that's there, I'm like, dude, what? And you move through, and Amidala's was the next one, the one with the lights around the bottom of the dress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the next one sitting beside it.
Oh, okay.
So then as you go, and it's not just the costumes there, they have a lot of the concept art. The original concept arts.
Right. What was their inspiration and all of the history?
They in the first cabinet, they have a pencil sketch storyboard of the beginning of the crawl from the original Star Wars: New Hope.
Oh, nice.
So and you can see it was penciled in this black with Star Wars written on it, and you can see this is what it's going to be.
Nice.
It was awesome. But I don't know. What'd you take? Because you're doing cosplay and stuff with Cobb and Oddball.
I wish I had time to look more at the details, but a lot of the prequels, the dresses alone, just the details, because they had videos on explaining what they used and how they did it and what they did to the material, and they even had pieces of the material sitting out.
Wow. Yeah, all
for some of the really elaborate dresses.
All of the Queen Amidala, because in the prequels, basically her wardrobe won the prequel.
Right.
So they had a large part of this was the Queen Amidala wardrobe. But that's because all those dresses were so intricately made and such a part of the things.
Right.
But
the beading work and the hand sewing, and it was insane.
But you see those two, then you go around the corner and it talks a little bit about the concept and design of how Star Wars was made. Then the next part of the exhibit, they had this round dais.
The fight scene.
Then it was Darth Maul in the middle.
Okay.
And it's surrounded by Shaakti, Mace Windu,
Obi-Wan
Kenobi, and Qui-Gon Jinn. Their costumes, all on mannequins, looks like they're in the fight.
Nice. No, the fight scene.
And in the back, with Shaakti and Mace Windu, there's a button you can push, and it would actually activate the lightsaber.
Oh!
Oh, nice.
And most of these costumes...
They have their lightsabers.
Many of the costumes are not behind glass. They're just on a stage in front of you.
Right.
That's how they were at the Science Fiction Museum in Seattle.
Yeah.
It's part of the EMP building. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw a portion of it, but it's got new stuff in it now.
Well, they had that fight scene staged on here on this dais, and then behind it you have Darth Sidious watching it with his hands up like he's throwing lightning.
Cool.
And then they had Darth Sidious's lightsaber sitting in the case. And I've seen most of the other lightsabers. That's the one I have not seen much of.
Cool.
So it was awesome looking. But then you turn the corner. Uh-huh. Well, what did you get? You had a question.
Well, no, like how close... Like, the thing is, like, how close can you get? Like, I understand it's in the case.
You can reach out and touch it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's how close it is. They said don't do that. You were told beforehand, don't touch, don't climb on the
thing. Right.
But, yeah, you could reach out. I could touch Obi-Wan Kenobi's costume.
There was people standing there watching everything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because sometimes, like, you know, when you go to something like that, sometimes those, they'll have the mannequin, where it's so far away, you can't.
No, you could reach out and
really close.
Some,
okay, cool.
Well, some were in glass cases, but majority of them were.
Yeah, most of the Amidala stuff was in glass cases.
Oh, cool.
What's up, my ninjas?
Hello.
Hey.
But yeah, you were like 2 feet, two feet away from.
What? And they had museum people placed in there.
Yeah.
Right.
They were in strategic locations, but they weren't obvious. Guarding everything.
Well, except for the one that was standing there as everyone's trying to read the wall.
Yeah, she was standing right in front of because each one had painted on the wall a description of what the next part of the exhibit is.
Right.
Like, the next one after Jedi versus Sith, that's what the one with all the Jedi stuff was, you know, that one had a lot of the Darth Maul concept art. And it was great because it had the concept art that they eventually ended up, since they didn't use it for Darth Maul, they used it to create the Night Sisters in the Clone Wars. And Mother Talzin was sitting there on the wall, and it was actually Darth Maul's original concept art.
Okay.
But then you get to the next one, it's called Royalty. And it was Amidala and some of the Amidala stuff, and then Princess Leia also.
Okay.
And they were pointing out the differences between the two and stuff. And the difference between the prequels, the idea of what royalty was there, and then how people saw royalty in the Empire era.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a place, I'm trying to remember what part of it. Actually, it was back. No. In the Jedi vs. Sith, they also had
Anakin was in the corner.
Anakin standing there, but it was the it was the young Anakin's Jedi robes from the end of Phantom Menace.
Was
on Anakin.
Yeah.
Did it answer the age-old Star Wars question?
Which one?
Which is this: did Jedi model their outfits after Tatooine moisture farmers? Or did moisture farmers model their outfits after Jedi?
They never answered that, but they did talk about how the Jedi's, they purposely use earth tones with all of their stuff.
They're
represent,
tied to nature.
Yeah, to basically tie them to nature. But on that same display, they had that, and I think it was another one of Ewan McGregor's costumes.
Right.
Cool.
But they had the chance cubes. Watto's chance cubes were in a little hologram case, so it looked like they were sitting on top of it. There was a couple little things like that in it. Like, later on, when they showed the Emperor, the different... they had, like, 6 mannequins of Palpatine, starting from the prequels all the way up to becoming Chancellor Palpatine and then Sidious. But on the wall beside it, you had all of the fingernails from Darth Sidious.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh! Oh, well.
Some of the other... Well, they were all cracked and gray, and it was kind of cool looking. But they did have, during the Leia section, they had the metal bikini, which was actually, it's not metal, but that's the way it's supposed to look, and the Boosh costume.
Mm-hmm.
So those were cool. Then from there, you moved into droids, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you had many parts of, through the years, of the different C-3PO costumes. The one display, they had a C-3PO costume, a BB-8, and R2-D2 all three together. Because this one actually has the Force Awakens costumes in it, too.
Okay.
And they had the Senate.
Yeah, then he moved on to the Senate. And that's where you got a lot of, like, Senate guards, Amidala. There was a case that had, what was it? Mon Mothma, Bail Organa, Amidala. It's, like, two other of the senators were there. I think Orkfrey Tom, maybe.
I'm trying to think the one that she was blue. She was right there on the
side. Oh, yeah.
It's a city.
Sly Moore? Is that it? Andy would be able to give me the name. It's Sly. See, he's got
it. He said that's right.
That's right.
All the way from upstairs.
But right before the Galactic Senate, you get Empire versus Rebel.
Oh.
And you had this one wall that had, they had three of the stormtroopers there. They had a classic stormtrooper that was beat up. Then you had the Force Awakens trooper, and then the Force Awakens snowtrooper, all in one display. Then you go to this wall, and it was Luke's X-Wing costume. I got the pictures. I got to remember. But it was three of the Rebellion costumes. Then the other wall had Empire, and it was all the Empire costumes.
Right.
But then you move on to from there into just straight Amidala and all the different wedding dresses and all of those things. But then you come around the corner, the last two exhibits, the next one around the corner was Vader.
Well, that, and you forgot that Boba Fett.
Yes, they had Boba and Jango standing side by side.
So not surprisingly, they had all the characters.
Exactly. Well, Boba and Jango were side by side.
The video they were playing, it was all concept. The concept costume. Right.
Oh, that's
explaining
nice.
How, like, it was white. Explaining how, you know, they did the different things with the costume.
Yeah, this was the original 70s concept video that was shot for Lucas. Mm-hmm. It said, okay, well, this button does this, that button does that. And all the different weapons and things that were on the original. A lot of us have seen the pictures of the white stormtrooper or Boba Fett armor.
Right.
And that's what that was.
Oh.
But,
like, where's Andy's?
Yeah, there's the prototype one there, yeah.
Okay.
But the original costume was white when they were just doing the proof of concept to find out what they could do before they painted it. But the last one was Vader.
Right.
And it was cool because they actually had one of the Vader stunt masks set up in a glass case, but facing the wrong way so you can see what it was like inside with all the foam and stuff inside of it.
Okay.
I got some good picture of that, but Vader's stuff was awesome. They had the lava painted behind him on the wall like he's on Mustafar, and you see all the concept art of it. Then you turn around the corner, they had the original Yoda puppet in a case.
Nice.
And I know they did the major restoration for it for some of the stuff they've shot since then, and it is the original Yoda puppet on screen used. Then you could get all the way around. It's in a glass case, but you're within 6 inches of it on that glass case.
How tall was the original?
About 2.5-3 feet. He was tiny. But then, since you're in Cincinnati, and I think this one's part of the museum always, because as you're leaving, they had the Kenner exhibit. And it was all this, because Kenner, anybody who doesn't know, Kenner was the original toy manufacturer for Star Wars, and they were based in Cincinnati originally.
Yep, they were still there as of when Andy grew up there.
Yeah.
He had a friend whose dad worked for Kenner at the time, and the friend had a prototype Boba Fett that they didn't use.
Was it the one they shot the rocket launcher? You know how much those are worth now?
Yeah, Andy has no idea what happened to that figure. It wasn't Andy's, it was his friend's.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, because and actually, Boba Fett figure originally was advertised as having the firing rocket launcher. When people got it, they were ticked off, so it didn't shoot.
I would be ticked off too.
Yep.
So, but the Kenner exhibit was awesome because they had a lot of toys. I've never seen. They had the Death Star playset with all the pieces.
I remember.
Very
that.
Few of those exist.
Yes, they had the radio control sandcrawler was in there with it. The Ewok Village, all the big ones that you know of. They even had Ewoks and droids toys.
Nice.
Set up there. It was just, the whole thing was just an awesome thing to do. I want to go back down and do it again. We're like Vicky said, we have time to actually, because we had to get home to get the dog and stuff, so we had to hurry home.
Is it August? It's on?
It goes until, I think, October 1st.
October, okay.
So you got all summer to go check this out.
Yeah, so if you're in the Cincinnati area or Northern Kentucky area or any
Ohio,
area like
Illinois,
that.
Indiana, we basically, I would have gone there anyway for an Akron's 5 hours.
If you travel to Akron for Odd Mall, it's really just a few hours south if you want to go to Cincinnati.
I don't know when the renovations on the building are now, but I got to go down after that's done so I can actually see the rest of that building too. So, but that was the rest of our trip.
It was crazy great the pants type weekend.
Yes. So, did you guys have anything else before we end this tonight? today?
No, we had
no. This has been a crazy tangenty issue, but we did a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we did.
It's my fault. So. I show up and we all fly off on tangents.
That's fine.
It's a Heather show.
That's right. So,
But hey. You know, the original concept for this was sort of like, you know, what would happen if we just dropped a microphone down in the middle of us hanging out, and
that's what we're doing today.
This is, so.
A lot of hanging out today. So, but with that, Geeksters, remember you can always find us online. Our presence is geekwatch1.com. All social media, anywhere and everywhere, geekwatch1. If you put in geekwatch1 into any search bar and you don't find geekwatch1, let us know. Dawn will take care of that problem.
I will.
So, also you can find us on the Tangibound and Weeby Geeks Networks at tangiboundnetwork.com, weebygeekspc.com, and other than that, for Heather and Kylan and Dawn and Vicky and myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.